بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله ما بعد فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Today we move on to a new topic, and Imam al-Tahawi rahimahullah, after finishing the discussion of the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mentioning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Ibrahim alayhi salam as a khalil, and that Musa alayhi salam, that he spoke to him with kalam, he continues and makes mention of three of the pillars of iman. And so he says, وَنُؤْمِنُ بِالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ وَنُؤْمِنُ بِالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ وَالْكُتُبِ الْمُنَزَّلَةِ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَنَشْهَدُ أَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا عَلَى الْحَقِّ الْمُبِينَ. So this is today's sentence. So here, the translation of it is, and we believe in the angels and the prophets, and the revealed books, or those books revealed upon the messengers. And we testify that they were upon the clear, plain truth. Speaking about the messengers. So once again, وَنُؤْمِنُ بِالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ. We believe in the angels and the prophets. وَالْكُتُبِ الْمُنَزَّلَةِ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ. And the books revealed upon the messengers. وَنَشْهَدُ أَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا عَلَى الْحَقِّ الْمُبِينَ. And we testify that they were upon the clear, plain truth. Meaning they, the prophets and the messengers, were upon the clear, plain truth. So we have first of all the brief commentary of Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, hafizahullah ta'ala. So he says that this is from the pillars of iman. And as you know, the first pillar of iman is belief in Allah, and the second pillar is belief in the angels. So after Allah is belief in the angels. And the angels are a world, they are a world from the world of the unseen. We cannot see the angels, and no one knows this world, what this world is like, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is the world of the angels, just as we have the world of the men, we have the world of the jinn, we have the world of the angels. And no one knows the reality of this world except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He created these angels out of light. They're created from light, from nur. And they are created for two reasons. The first of them is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the worship of Allah. And secondly is to implement His commands. To implement His commands in His creation. So the angels, they do two things. They worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and secondly, they carry out the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His creation. And this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has entrusted them with certain actions that they perform. These angels, they are entrusted with certain actions which they then implement in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And examples of these actions are, He entrusts some of them with revelation. They are entrusted with bringing revelation down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the messengers. So they bring Allah's kalam, Allah's speech. They hear Allah's speech, and that is brought down to the prophets and messengers. And there are specific or a specific angel which is entrusted with that. And amongst them likewise are those who are entrusted with the rains and the vegetation. The rain and the vegetation. And amongst them are those who are entrusted with taking the souls of the people. at the point of death to take the souls of the people. And amongst them are those who are entrusted, or which is entrusted, with blowing the trumpet, or blowing the horn, the trumpet, meaning to signal the resurrection, Yawm al-Qiyamah, and the resurrection. And amongst them are those who are entrusted to write and record the actions of the sons of Adam. To record the actions of the sons of Adam. And amongst them are those who are entrusted with the mountains, the Jibal, the mountains. And amongst them are those who are entrusted with the fetus inside the womb of a pregnant woman. And so, which occurs in the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu anhu, in which he mentions that the angel is commanded to write the sustenance of that being and the lifespan of that being, and whether happy or sad. So in other words, these are just some examples of some of the actions which the angels are entrusted with by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are commanded by Allah, and they do exactly as He says. In the Quran, Allah says, لَا يَسْبِقُونَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ وَهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِ يَعْمَلُونَ. That they, meaning the angels, do not precede Allah in speech. They don't precede Him in speech. They don't go ahead of Him in speech. And they act by way of His command. Surah Al-Anbiya 21 verse 27. And likewise Allah says, يُصَبِّحُونَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ لَا يَفْتَرُونَ. That they glorify Allah in the night and the day. And they never become weary or slack. And this is Surah Al-Anbiya, Surah number 21, verse number 20. So in these two verses, we see on the one hand that they fulfill the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and on the other hand, we see that they glorify Allah, they actually worship Allah, they make tasbih of Allah, and this is from their worship. And this is a proof, these two ayahs are a proof that on the one hand they worship Allah, on the other hand, that they fulfill the commands of Allah. There are certain specific tasks that they, with respect to which they obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then, they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a continuous worship. Right? They are continuously worshipping Allah. And alongside that, they fulfill whatever Allah commands them. So when He commands them, they do exactly as they are commanded. And, of course, from this we understand that the angels have a great importance, a great and lofty importance, and their creation is such that we don't really know what the reality of their creation is, except what Allah has informed us. So we know that their creation is different to the creation of the son of Adam, and in the Quran and in the Sunnah we've been told certain specific things. By way of example, Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Fatir, which is the 35th Surah, Allah says, جَائِلِ الْمَلَائِكَةَ رُسُلًا أُولِي أَجْنِحَةً مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَاعٍ. That Allah says, He has made the angels as messengers, and has made them to have wings, either in pairs, so they have two wings, or they have three pairs of wings in threes, or pairs of wings in fours. Right, so this is how He has made them. Surah Fatir, Surah 35, the first verse. And some of them, He's actually made them greater than that. So He says, يَزِيدُ فِي الْخَلْقِ مَا يَشَىٰ, in the same ayah, that Allah increases in the creation however He wills. And so Jibreel, alayhi salam, for example, he has 600 wings. 600 wings. So from the angels are those which have pairs of wings in twos, pairs of wings in threes, pairs of wings in fours. And Jibreel alayhi salam has 600 wings. And every one of those wings is like what it would stretch like what we see on the horizon. On the horizon. And so apart from this, what we've been told, no one knows the reality of the creation of these beings, of these angels, except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as for mankind, then we are not able to see the angels in their natural form. Rather, the angels come in the form of a man, as Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam used to do when he used to come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam in the form of a man, and he would sit and he would speak to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and the Messenger never saw him in his original form except for two occasions in his life. Two occasions. The first occasion was whilst he was in Mecca, when he saw him in the horizon, filling the whole horizon. And the second occasion was when he saw him at the Sidratul Muntaha. Sidratul Muntaha. Saw him by this huge tree on the night of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. And every other occasion that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam saw Jibreel, then he was always in the form of a man. Always in the form of a man. And it is mentioned that he would often come in the form of a particular companion. There was a companion known as Dihyatul Qalbi. Dihya al-Qalbi, radiyallahu anhu. And so Jibreel would often come in the form and the shape of this particular sahabi. But the only occasion in which he saw him in his true form, in fact there are two occasions as we said, and the Shaykh has mentioned those two. So this is the angels, and as for the prophets, then we will discuss that at the relevant point, inshallah ta'ala. So as for Shaykh Salih al-Shaykh, hafizahullah ta'ala, he says that this speech of At-Tahawi rahimahullah, وَنُؤْمِنُ بِالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ وَالْكُتُبِ الْمُنَزَّلَةِ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَنَشْهَدُ أَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا عَلَى الْحَقِّ الْمُبِينَ. We believe in the angels and the prophets and the revealed books upon the messengers, and we testify that they were upon the plain, clear truth. He mentions this kalam after speaking about the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and after speaking about Al-Qadr, and after speaking about the throne and the kursi, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the arsh, and likewise the khulla, the love of Allah for Ibrahim alayhi salam. And so we see what we see happening in At-Tahawi's book is that basically he dealt with the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he dealt with Al-Qadr, and now he's introducing three of the other pillars of Iman, right? So we can see that broadly speaking, the book of At-Tahawi is based around the six pillars of Iman, but there isn't really any structure. He brings issues, you know, in no particular order. So here now he's introduced belief in the angels and the prophets, and likewise the revealed books. And so the Shaykh goes on to mention that, as you know, there are six pillars of Iman: belief in Allah, belief in the angels, belief in the books, belief in the messengers, belief in the last day, and belief in Al-Qadr. And the Shaykh goes on to mention there are proofs from the Quran and from the Sunnah that indicate this. And he also makes a point, which is that if you look at everyone from those who ascribe to the Qibla, every person who turns to the Qibla, meaning those who ascribe themselves to Islam, we find that all of them actually believe in the six pillars of Iman, meaning in the basic details of the six pillars of Iman. So we see this is because that when we look in the Quran and the Sunnah, we see that the texts that mention belief in Allah and belief in the angels and belief in the books and messengers, that they are so many and so abundant, that none of the people of the Qibla actually reject in principle any of these pillars of Iman. So this is a matter that is agreed upon overwhelmingly amongst all of the people who turn to the Qibla. So as for the proofs in the Quran, we see there are numerous proofs in the Quran. From them is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, verse 177. Allah says, وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ واليوم الآخر والملائكة والكتاب والنبيين. That bir, al-bir, which is righteousness, it is whoever believes in Allah, firstly, and the last day, secondly, and the angels, thirdly, and the book, fourthly, and the prophets, fifthly. he will see five pillars of iman mentioned all together in one verse. In one verse. And al-birr, walakin al-birra, however, birr is just righteousness. It is, this term al-birr, it can either refer to iman, it's synonymous with iman when it is mentioned by itself, or it is a part of iman. It refers to a part of iman or some of the qualities of iman. The second ayah in the Quran is again Suratul Baqarah, surah number 2, verse 285, right at the end of the surah. Allah says, آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله. That the messenger believes in that which has been revealed to him from his Lord, as do the believers. All of them believe in Allah and the angels and the books and his books and his messengers. So they believe in Allah and his angels, books and messengers, all mentioned together. Belief in Allah, the books, angels and messengers. So we have four of the pillars of iman mentioned together in this ayah. Then we have in the third ayah, Suratul Nisa, which is the fourth surah, verse 136. And in this surah Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, aminu billahi wa rasulihi, وَالْكِتَابِ الَّذِي نَزَّلَ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِهِ وَالْكِتَابِ الَّذِي أَنْزَلَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. Believe in Allah and His Messenger and the book which He revealed upon His Messenger and the book which He revealed previously. وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِاللَّهِ. And now this is the proof here. وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِاللَّهِ. Whoever disbelieves in Allah. وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ. And His angels. وَكُتُبِهِ. And His books. وَرُسُولِهِ. And his messengers, وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, and the final day. فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. Then he has indeed gone far, far astray. So we see in this ayah, Allah has mentioned again five of the six pillars of iman together. And there are numerous verses which are like this. In fact, these are just three, a sample of three. There are many other verses which are like this. As for the hadith, then you all know the famous hadith of Jibreel, alayhi salam, when he came to the messenger of Allah in the form of a man, and he asked him about Islam and then Iman, and the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Al-Imanu an tu'mina billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wal yawmil akhir wa tu'mina bil qadari khairihi wa sharrihi. That Iman is to believe in Allah and the angels and the books and the messengers and his messengers and his books. His angels, his books, his messengers, and the last day, and that you believe in Al-Qadr, it's good and it's evil. And Jibreel, al-Islam, he said, Sadaqt, that you have spoken the truth to the end of the hadith. So when we look at this, when we look at this level of detail, at the basic level, believing in the six pillars, we see that all of the 73 sects, all of those sects who are from Islam, who are within Islam, we see that this much is agreed upon by all of these sects. But then, there are issues in which there are differences. So when we look at the actual details, how do we believe in Allah? How do we believe in the angels? How do we believe in the books and the messengers and Al-Qadr? We find on the last day likewise, when we look at the specific details of Yawm al-Qiyamah, for example, belief in the bridge, belief in the Hawd, belief in the specific details, we find now that this is where there are differences in the specific details between the 73 sects. Then the Sheikh mentions a point, which is that some of the scholars, they speak only of five pillars of iman, but because we find that in the Quran, those five have been mentioned together and Al-Qadr hasn't been mentioned alongside them. So some scholars you will find, a small number of scholars will say the five pillars of iman. And then there are others who will say the seven pillars of iman. And they will add belief in paradise and hellfire to the pillars of iman. So they will say belief in Allah and angels, books, messengers, the last day, Al-Qadr, and Al-Jannah wal-Nar, paradise and hellfire. However, that which we know is that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he explained the pillars of iman to be six in the well-known famous hadith of Jibreel, And for that reason, the scholars of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah, they speak of the six pillars of Iman. This is what is known to the majority of the people of the Qibla and to Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah, that Iman consists of six pillars because the Messenger arranged them in that way. And as for Al-Qadr, we find Al-Qadr itself has a mention in the Qur'an and the Sunnah. So this is just a general introduction then to what Imam al-Tahawi Ramallah has mentioned here, because he mentioned the angels, the books, and the messengers. And of course, if you look at the six pillars of Iman, you see that we start with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we move to the angels, the books, and the messengers. And the angels are the means of, if you like, the wasita, or the intermediary between Allah and His creation in terms of conveying revelation, right? And then the books are actually an expression, the books are what are revealed by the angels from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the books are actual Allah's speech. So the angels are the means through which Allah reveals His speech to the creation. But those books, they are revealed upon the messengers. And then the messengers in turn, they are the wasita, they are the intermediary between Allah and the rest of His creation in terms of conveying His revelation. They convey the revelation, they bring the ilm, they convey the ilm. And so for that reason, we see that these three pillars, the angels, the books, and the messengers, when we look at those who are the non-Muslims, from the atheists and the philosophers and other than them, we see that what they are upon, what their foundations are built upon, is a rejection of every pillar of the pillars of Iman. In fact, if you look at every society which is a non-Muslim atheist society, you find that the atheistic society is built upon a rejection of all of the six pillars of Iman. So they deny belief in a creator. If you deny a belief in the Creator, then clearly you cannot be believing in angels and books and messengers. Right? So therefore, you have to now deny belief in the unseen. There's no paradise, there's no hellfire, there are no angels who bring revelation. Right? And likewise, messengers, those who claim to be messengers, are not really messengers. Right? What is called messengership is not really true and real. Rather, these are just men who maybe have very good intelligence, have very good imagination, and they're able to, they have a great skill by which they can invent whole philosophies and morals and systems, right? This is how these people look at those who claim to be prophets and messengers. They don't actually accept that they receive revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, therefore, there can be no resurrection. There's no resurrection either. Resurrection is just an allegory. It's not true, it's not real. It's just something that is said to the people to scare them, to make them live moral, good lives. And likewise, there is no qadr. There is no qadr, al-qadr. So you see that there are two types, there is belief in Allah and the messengers and everything which follows on from that, or there is disbelief, and disbelief in everything from the pillars of Iman. For that reason, when you look at these societies which are based upon disbelief and atheism, you see that all of their philosophies, ideas, beliefs, and where they're coming from is built upon undermining these core principles of Iman. So they will reject that this universe was originated. And so all of their sciences, all of their knowledge, all of their study, all of the disciplines that they're involved in, is geared towards a rejection of denying that this universe was originated by an originator. So they work in those fields to undermine that belief. Likewise, they deny that man was created, was originated, meaning by a creator. And so therefore they work to undermine that belief. And this is where we have the evolution and all these other theories that they have to deny and undermine that. Likewise, they try to claim the universe is eternal. Universe is eternal. Matter is eternal. And when they try to establish all these things, a consequence of that, of course, is that angels, books, and messengers are not real, are not true. Right? So angels are not real, they don't exist. And the revealed books, they're not really revealed from a creator because we don't believe in a creator anyway. And messengers are really people who tell lies. They convince the people that they are receiving revelation from someone or something, but they actually make it up from themselves. So they are great. They are people who have great imaginations who can tell lies to people who are skilled at telling lies. Right? This is how these people, they view religion. This is how they view the books and the messengers and the angels. They treat it like this. And then, in turn, they have a certain view of the people who believe these things. So, those who are believers in the revealed books and believers in the sent messengers and believers in the angels and the jinn and paradise and hellfire and al-qadr, then they have a certain perception and view at looking at those people. And they treat them to be backward and ignorant and whatever else, you know, they have these perceptions towards the people of Iman and towards the people of Islam. So, anyway, this is a general belief in the pillars of Iman. And then the Shaykh goes on to explain that when we look at these pillars of Iman, each of these pillars, when we just look at the angels, the books and the messengers, there is a part of belief in these issues which is general and a part which is detailed. There is an ijmal, a generalization, and there is a tafsil, a level which is detailed. And likewise, there is from belief in each of these things, which if a person does not believe in, then he is a disbeliever. Meaning that there's a certain level of belief a person must have in each of these three things, in the angels, in the books and the messengers, on account of which his iman becomes valid and acceptable, and without which his iman is not valid. And this is the amount which is wajib. This is al-imanul wajib. This is the amount which is wajib. And then there is a level and an amount which is mustahab, which is recommended for him to believe. And these are the specific details which one finds in the book and the sunnah. And when a person comes across these details, it becomes wajib upon him at that point to believe in those details. Otherwise, it is just mustahab to actually be in possession of those details and to believe in those details. So this is the first issue. The second issue is that when we say believing in the angels, وَنُؤْمِنُ بِالْمَلَائِكَةِ, we will now enter into a detailed issue on the angels specifically. So belief in the angels, then there are numerous issues that we must understand. The first issue in relation to the angels is, what is the origin of this word, al-mala'ika? Al-mala'ika. Al-mala'ika is the plural form of a word which is mal'akun. The original word in Arabic is mal'akun. Mal'akun. And this word, mal'akun, this word itself, the original word is ma'lakun. Ma'lakun. So you have a meme, you have alif, hamza, and then a lam and a kaf. Ma'lakun. Ma'lakun. And obviously this has been shortened, malakun. Malakun, malakun. But the original word is ma'lakun. Ma'lakun. And the root of this word is alukatun. Alukatun. This is the masdar. This is the original verb noun, or the noun. Alukatun. And the meaning of alukatun is ar-risala. Ar-risala. Meaning messengership. Sending of a messenger. Right? So in other words, the meaning that we understand here is that the word malaika, which is the plural, and malakun, which is the singular, that the underlying meaning behind the name given to them is that the meaning is that they are those who are sent with a message. That they are sent with a message. And this is how this word aluka is understood by the Arabs. It actually means ar-risala. And this is why in the Quran we see that the angels are referred to as al-mursalun. Al-mursalun, those who have been sent. Those who have been sent. And in fact, in some of the verses of the Quran, we see the same meaning, like at the beginning of Surah Al-Mursalat. Surah Al-Mursalat is the 77th surah in the Quran. Allah begins this surah by saying, وَالْمُرْسَلَاتِ عُرْفَى. Allah is swearing by these angels. He says, by those who are sent in succession. So he referred to them as Al-Mursalat. Al-Mursalat, those who are sent in succession. And likewise, we see in the Quran, Allah specifically says, Allahu yastafi min al-malaikati rusulan wa min an-nas. That indeed Allah chooses from the angels as messengers, and likewise from mankind. So specifically, we see al-malaika and rusul, the connection between malak and rusul. The meaning as has been joined here. The ayah is in Surah Al-Hajj, Surah 22, verse number 75. So this is the meaning, the linguistic meaning of the word malak or ma'alakun, which is the original word. We see the underlying meaning is one who is sent. After this, the Shaykh mentions that the angels are servants from the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the slaves of Allah are the men, from them are the jinn, and from them are the angels. So the angels are ibadun. They are servants from the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are created from light. Allah created them from light. And he has made them devoted to his worship. So angels, every angel worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, they are entrusted with specific affairs in his creation, in his dominion. And so they are not the daughters of Allah, as was claimed by the mushrikeen, nor are they the sons of Allah, as is claimed by others. Rather, they are servants, ennobled servants. They know and they act upon what Allah has commanded them with, and they worship Allah, and they are not to be worshipped. They are simply servants of Allah, purified servants of Allah, and they do not have any deficiency in their creation. Allah has created them as perfect beings in two senses. Number one, in the actual physical creation. There is perfection in their physical creation. Allah has made them to be like that. And secondly, in their actual traits and characteristics. In their traits and qualities and characteristics, Allah has also made them, there isn't any deficiency in that regard. And likewise, there is no deficiency in their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They worship Allah in a way in which there is no deficiency. So this is how Allah has made the angels to be different from the jinn and from the men. And these are some of the specific unique qualities of the angels. So this is the first issue, first point. The second issue and the second point is that the angels have darajat and tabaqat. Angels have degrees, levels, ranks. And the greatest of the angels, of all of the angels, and there are innumerable number of angels, meaning that we cannot count how many angels there are. It's simply not, because there are so many angels, it is impossible for us to count how many angels there are in Allah's creation. But from all of those angels, three of them have the highest rank. And they are the three specific ones mentioned by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his dua that he used to make in the night time in the Salatul Layl. He used to say, Allahumma Rabb Jibril wa Mika'il wa Israfil Fatir as-samawati wal ard alim al-ghaybi wash-shahada anta tahkumu bayna ibadika fima kanu fihi yakhtalifun. This well-known supplication that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salam used to make, O Allah, the Lord of Jibril and Mika'il and Israfil, the originator of the heavens and the earth, the knower of the unseen and the hidden, and the seen and the unseen, you judge between your servants in that which they have differed, to the end of the supplication. But the point of evidence here is that here the Messenger of Allah, he mentioned the three angels, Jibreel, Mikael, and Israfil. And these three are the most superior and the highest ranking of all of the angels. And this is because they have the greatest virtue and they have a lofty station with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And amongst these three, the order is of course Jibreel, then Mikael, then Israfil. Now, these three angels, each of these three angels, they have been entrusted with one element or aspect of life, al-hayat. Right? This is the nature and special responsibility of each of these three angels, that they have each been entrusted with life, or with an element or an aspect of life. What does this mean? This becomes clear by the following. Number one, Jibreel alayhi salam has been entrusted with the life of the hearts. This is the role of Jibreel alayhi salam. He has been entrusted with the life of the hearts. Hayatul Qulub. This is because he descends with revelation. He comes with revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just as Allah says, قُلْ نَزَّلَهُ رُوحُ الْقُدُسِ مِنْ رَبِّكَ بِالْحَقِّ. That say, the Ruhul al-Qudus, meaning Jibreel, has descended from your Lord with the truth. He descended with it, meaning the Quran, from your Lord with the truth. So meaning that Jibreel, he brings the revelation of Allah, which is Allah's actual kalam. He brings it to mankind, and through that revelation are the hearts of mankind given life. They are given life. So in other words, Jibreel really, truly and essentially, he is the one who is entrusted with the life of the hearts, which, to put it another way, is the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? The life of the hearts is through Allah's speech, which is his revelation. He informs them, commands them, prohibits them. And Jibreel brings that to the people, and the people, their hearts are given life. This is Jibreel alayhi salam. Then there is Mikael alayhi salam, and he is entrusted with the life of the bodies. The life of the bodies. Now, the physical bodies. How is this? This is because Mikael alayhi salam, he is the angel who is entrusted with the rain, the plants, the animals, and the winds. So we have the winds, ar-riyah, we have the rain, we have the plants, and we have the animals. And whatever is similar to these types of things. In other words, he is entrusted with that which gives life to the bodies. That which gives life to the bodies. And then we have Israfil. Israfil. And Israfil is entrusted with the blowing of the trumpet. Or blowing of the horn. And as you know, the blowing of the horn is that by which the people will be given a new life. A new life. So this is a third type of life, meaning the resurrection. Because the resurrection is the giving to the people of a new type of life, a new life, after which there will not be any death. Right? So that life, which occurs by way of Israfil, blowing the trumpet, and then Allah resurrecting mankind and the jinn, that now is a new type of life which never ever expires. So Israfil also is in charge of a type of life. Okay, what is common between all of these three angels? All of these three angels are in charge of some element of life. They give life, meaning that Allah makes them to be from those who are a means and a way of reviving life or giving life. Jibreel alayhi salam gives life to the hearts by way of the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mikael, he gives life to the bodies. And Israfil the revival of the bodies and the souls when there is the resurrection. So, as we said, Jibra'il has the greatest rank, then Mika'il, then Israfil. So, they are the three greatest, and after them there are levels and ranks, and they vary in how close they are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in the specific things that they have been entrusted. And what does it mean, at-tawkeel? At-tawkeel. At-tawkeel, this word means that they have been entrusted. At-tawkeel. At-tawkeel means to entrust, to pass on the duty and the responsibility to someone else. And so the angels are, they have been given this tawkeel. They are muwakkalun. They have been entrusted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill, to do certain actions. Allah says, just by way of example, قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ. This ayah is a proof. Allah says in Surah As-Sajdah, Surah 32, verse number 11. Allah says, say, the angel of death will take your soul, the one who has been entrusted over you. So here Allah says, وَكِّلَ بِكُمْ الَّذِي وَكِّلَ بِكُمْ. The one who has been put in charge and entrusted. He's been given tawkeel, or tawkeel has been given to him to be in charge of this particular issue. In this case, the angel of death. And so here we clearly see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the angel of death to be entrusted over mankind as a whole. Now, angels who have been entrusted over a specific duty, they in turn, they are chiefs and leaders over many other angels. So by way of example, the angel of death is a chief and a leader. There is one angel of death. Allah has entrusted him with the issue of death, with the taking of the souls. But this angel in turn, he has many other angels which are with him. And he commands them. He commands them. And so what they do is that whatever he commands them, they listen, and whatever he prohibits them, they withhold. And whatever this Amir or this leader or this chief of the angels commands them, then they obey that. For that reason, the angel of death, by way of example, he has other messengers who are with him, others who are with him who fulfill this function. Allah says in the Quran, Hatta إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدُكُمُ الْمَوْتِ تَوَفَّتْهُ رُسُولُنَا وَهُمْ لَا يُفَرِّطُونَ. Allah says, until when there comes to one of you death, our messengers take him. Look how he said messengers. There is one angel of death. There's one angel of death. But he said, رُسُولُنَا, that our messengers, they take him, and they are not neglectful in what they do. Surah Al-An'am, Surah 6, verse 61. And then we have, here we see that these messengers which are mentioned here in this ayah, they are those who help and aid the angel of death in doing the function that he is made responsible for. Likewise, Allah says, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ, that we are closer to him than you, but you do not see. What does this ayah actually mean? This ayah, the reference for this ayah is Surah Al-Waqi'ah, Surah 56. Verse number 85. What does this verse actually mean? It means when Allah says that we are closer to him than you, but you cannot see. It means that our angels are right there and by you and close to you. Meaning the angel of death, the angels of death who have come and they are going to take that soul. Because they are performing the function and the task that Allah's, ordered them to do, then Allah is closer to that individual than that individual really knows. Meaning his angels are close to him, and we cannot see the angels. And these are the angels of death, which a person cannot actually see. So this is one of the ways by which Allah is closer to a person, when death comes to him, than what a person may imagine or know. So likewise, so this is an example by way of the angel of death. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has mentioned those who are in charge of the winds. The winds. Allah has mentioned them likewise in the Quran. So remember, we have one angel who is in charge of all of the livelihood and the rizq, which is Mika'il. But then under Mika'il will be groups of angels. And for that reason, Allah mentions in many verses in the Quran, groups of angels. So for example, he says in the Quran, وَالْمُرْسَلَاتِ عُرْفَ وَالْمُرْسَلَاتِ عُرْفَ by those who are sent in succession. Surah Al-Mursalat, Surah 77, verse 1. And likewise, he says in the same surah, verse number 3, وَالنَّاشِرَاتِ نَشْرَى وَالنَّاشِرَاتِ نَشْرَى. And likewise, he says, فَالْفَارِقَاتِ فَرْقَى. These are all references to the angels, meaning وَالنَّاشِرَاتِ نَشْرَى, those who bring about the vegetation, who cause it to grow and cause it to come about. فَالْفَارِقَاتِ فَرْقَى. And in another surah we see in Surah As-Safat, Surah 37, verse number 1, وَالصَّافَّاتِ صَفَّى, by those who are arranged in ranks, right? All of these references in the Quran refer to groups of angels. And these groups of angels are those who participate or who partake or who are subjected in certain functions, like the winds, for example, or the vegetation by way of example. Okay, so we see that this is very clear and manifest in the Quran. So, a believer then, he believes in all of these things. He believes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has angels. He believes that angels have ranks and levels. He believes that there are specific chiefs and leaders amongst the angels who are in charge of certain things, like Mika'il, for example. And then the angel of death, for example. And then there are other types of angels. All of them have angels which obey them and which carry out the commands that they give to them. So, when we see these things taking place in the creation, what are we seeing? We are seeing the asbab. We are seeing things taking place, like, for example, death taking place, the winds, we see and perceive the winds, we see the rain coming down, we see many things, but behind them are the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are the angels, which we do not see, we cannot see. We cannot see the cause behind these things, rather we see the effects, right? So when we see the wind, when we feel the wind, for example, we can also see the wind, in fact, when we see things moving, or when we have death and we have all the other things taking place, the rain, what we are seeing are the effects of the actions of the angels. That's what we are seeing. So we are seeing the effects. Although we can't see the actual action of the angel, we can't see that, right? We can't see the action of the angel of death. We can't see the action of the angel that brings down a raindrop, for example, or the action, or the action of any angel. That's invisible to us, and we cannot see the actual action because that's from the world of the unseen. However, the effects of what those angels do, then that is what we see outwardly in the life of this world. So we see the asbab, we see the ways and means, and we see the results of them. So all of this is, we do not see that. And this, in fact, explains many of the things that we see in the creation, and many of those things that the non-Muslims and the atheists, that they think that they are trying to explain, although they can't explain things like, they would say there's pressure, and then there's the atmosphere, and then there's hot wind and cold wind, and then there's the gravity, and they explain by way of all these things, right? This is the zahir, this is the apparent thing that they see, as some of the sheikhs explained, mentioned an ayah in the Quran, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ, that they only know the apparent things in life, yet they are heedless of the hereafter. And so some of the scholars have used this verse as a proof to show that the sciences of the kuffar, the sciences of the non-Muslims, everything they study and what they think and claim to have knowledge of, it is only the apparent outward thing in life. They only know the apparent outward things. That's what they see. They only see, what they speak of, what they describe, what they study, what they analyze. They only see the outward surface thing. To give an example, if we speak of a of a heart of a person, the heart, for example, to them the heart is just a piece of flesh, vessels, blood flowing through, it's a pump. And so they describe it in ways which is just really the apparent outward thing that you would see. However, the heart in reality, what is the heart? The heart has life, has death, it has certain states and conditions, it can be rusty, it can be white, it can be black, it can be polished, it can be, you know, all these things are mentioned in the Quran. This is the true and the real knowledge. This is the true inward, real, true knowledge. So a non-Muslim, atheist, whatever, would speak of the outward thing that he sees. Heart is a flesh, it pumps blood, it has these arteries and whatever. That's all he sees. This is the zahir. And this applies to everything from the knowledge and the sciences of the kuffar, of the non-Muslims. So when they outwardly describe what they see of gravity and rain and mountains and whatever else, they can only speak of it from an outward, shallow surface level. But behind that, there is the world of the unseen that we do not see, but whose effects we see. So the rain, the wind, life, death, and everything else that we witness and experience behind all of that are the angels entrusted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is how Allah governs His creation, and this is the second issue that we wanted to mention. And inshallah ta'ala, what we'll do is that we'll suffice with this amount for today's lesson, inshallah ta'ala. And we'll continue and finish off our discussion in the next lesson, inshallah ta'ala. And this will bring us to an end of the first volume of this explanation, which means that we roughly got through a third of the creed of Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullahu ta'ala. So any questions on anything that's been said today? If not, we will conclude our lesson there today, inshallah ta'ala.
Is it possible for non-messaging humans to see angels in this world?
Not in the real form, but in the form of men. Yeah. Like angels came to Ibrahim alayhi salam in the form of, they can come to the messengers and prophets in the form of men. And the examples of that in the Quran. But the messenger Muhammad sallam, he saw Jibreel in his actual form. But as for the rest of mankind, they would only see them as like in the form of a man. Yeah. Not see them in the original form. There's a question just from Paltalk regarding a refutation of the Qasida. Of Burda, the Al-Burda, Qasidatul Burda. Is there a refutation available of that in English? I know there are translations of some of the sheikhs who refuted and criticized parts of that poetry. You will find it on some of the forums, some of the Salafi forums. You'll find it on Salafi Talk. If you do a search on Google, you will probably find the actual link to the refutation. So yes, there is material available. And that's what I recommend that you do. Qasidatul Burda, for those who are not aware, this is a poetry which the Sufis are attached to. And this poetry is supposed to be a praise of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But within it, there are statements of exaggeration and statements of shirk. And so some of the scholars of the Sunnah, of Tawheed and Sunnah, they've written refutations against this poetry. And you will find some of that material translated into English. But this poetry is heavily pushed by the Sufis like Hamza, Yusuf. And, you know, you'll hear this word often, the Qasidatul Burda. They actually study it. and they memorize it and they recite it and they believe they are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by way of this. But it contains aspects and elements of shirk, seeking refuge in the Messenger of Allah. And, you know, things like this. So yes, I suggest you search Google to find the link on Salafi Talk. There are translations of the refutations of the scholars on that forum, and you will find it there, inshallah ta'ala. Inshallah, we conclude today's lesson at this point. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta wa astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.